I'm Chris.
I'm Buddy.
And I'm Kara, and welcome to The Business Experience.
Now it's time to meet your hosts. Dr. Chris Alexander has founded over 5 businesses. Kara Turner is the founder of a B2B marketing agency. And Buddy Powers has perfected the product development and commercialization process. Let's get into the episode.
Okay, so today we are going to be discussing a great topic that we can all relate to, and it's handling difficult clients. So I think we can all agree that we've had a difficult client or two.
A few.
Yes. Yep. So it was kind of hard to find some statistics on this. I think a lot of them were like more business to consumer, but I think they apply still. So 95% of people say customer care is vital to them being loyal clients. I would say that works for our business models too. And 86% are happy to pay more for great service. I'm not sure that 86% of our clients want to pay more, but maybe like...
Was this a Google search?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Google probably made up that.
You have to have some statistics.
Yes. And then 74% of customers will switch companies or brands if it's difficult to work with them, which I would agree with that.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Chris, why don't you tell us about a time where you've had a difficult client, but then reflecting back what you learned from that experience and how you could have possibly turned it around.
So I probably shouldn't mention their name.
No.
That'd be a bad idea. So I think we've all had difficult clients, you know, and I know you've really had at least one doozy I'm thinking about. But I think it's just part of it, right? I mean, so if you have like 100 clients, just statistically, some are going to be more difficult to work with than others. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that I've learned, I'm thinking about one in particular, as much as I'd like to say who they are, I'm not going to do it. But I think a lot of it boiled down to communication. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about, it's almost like having a 4-year-old at the grocery store. It's unfulfilled expectations if they really want that cereal and they can't get it. So I think some of the importance of communicating with a client is that you are very clear in what you're going to deliver, and they're very clear in terms of their expectations. And that way is, if something goes wrong, it's like, well, I said this is what I was going to do. So I think for me, that's a really good experience. I think the other thing too, sometimes it's emotional, and I don't like it to get that way, but when a client kind of gets mad at you about something that maybe this more personal or something you didn't do about, there's just not a whole lot that you can do about that.
So, Buddy, I know that you have to deal with this a lot because you're like client facing. Yeah. So you're interacting.
You clean up our mess.
Yeah, I mean, there's a it's kind of a schizophrenia approach that I take to this, because I've always believed that customers are always right. Right. I mean, even if it's not my fault, I still take the blame and I run with it to correct the situation. Right. But at the same time, I also have a preferred customer list. And I have fired a customer. Like, I do not want to work with you anymore.
Yep.
So I think it's important to have those aspects in your sort of experience, and it makes your life a lot better. It makes you appreciate the customers that do work with you and appreciate the efforts that you make. My experience is really, I suffer from either a deluge, sort of like... or a drought. Like, I get too much information from clients, and they want to always engage, and they want to walk out, micromanage. And then on the flip side, there's a drought. There's like, I don't hear from them. I don't have any clue what they want, all of this stuff. So back to your point, you know, setting up a clear communication process, process improvement on, you know, what we're trying to accomplish, stage it out, and really take it out, take it on bite size.
Yes, I had one client, luckily it's only been one, that was very ugly, and I fired that client too. I just said, we're not the marketing firm for you. But looking back on the situation, I think that if I would have had clearer communication, if I would have had certain deadlines and certain practices in place, like one of the things that came from that was whenever we sent out the first draft of things, we put draft on it. Because they were just like flabbergasted that this came out thinking it was the final piece, and we're like, no, this is our first stab at it with no guidance at all. So we're just putting what we think should be on here, and we need y'all to tweak it. So then we put draft on everything from now on. And I think that helps a lot. So just
because it helps set the expectation.
Yes. Right? Yeah. And then also just walking through the process. Since then, we've come out with statements of work that talk about what we do, when we do it, what's the timeline, who are the checkpoints, who's the contact person. So I think it's just having those processes in place. But you don't know to have those processes right. until you have something go wrong and you figure out you need to fix it.
You get a data point and you get a lot smarter after that.
Yes. Right? Oh my gosh, my life is nothing but data points.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about this, but your current role being a salesperson, like, how do you really handle when there's a difficult situation?
I really try to, look at the sort of the signal and not the noise, like what is the real problem, and try to address that and focus on that. You know, I don't care, I'm not gonna place blame, take credit, push off blame, get defensive. Those type of things I really focus on and I consider noise. The signal is, what is the real problem? Can we correct it? And you know, whether it's something as simple as a deliverable is behind, okay, you know, we missed something for an important event or meeting, or we made a mistake, we messed something up in the back. Okay, you're right, let's figure out what we can do to correct it, and then we'll take an approach for quality management later on.
That's great.
I found with clients that when something goes wrong and you admit your mistakes, they're usually pretty okay with it if you admit it. Now, if you cover it up, isn't there a saying like, bad news is best served warm? Like, you just gotta tell them right away.
That's right.
Yep. Don't let them find out on their own. So when I was in sales, I would say something like, okay, we have this problem, but here's three different solutions, and this one will take this long, this and this, and like, which one do we wanna do?
Yeah.
So don't just come with problems, come with some solutions too.
Yep.
So as a president of a company, when it gets to you, it's usually really bad at that point.
Yep.
So how do you handle that?
Crawl under my desk and cry. No. So I always have a book. So today's book is Shut Up and Listen by Tillman Fertitta, who is he's business mogul and owner of the NBA's Houston Rockets. And if you live in Houston like we do, he owns a bunch of restaurants that we all like. So he has a little story in there, and being a restaurant guy, that if he goes into a restaurant and let's say it's like 1:30 in the afternoon and he wants scrambled eggs, if he asks the wait staff, it's like, I'd like scrambled eggs, and they're like, well, we only serve scrambled eggs till 11 o'clock. His point is, just make scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
So I think, and it kind of goes on to Buddy's point, is if you've done something wrong, number one, admit it, but number two, and one of our core values at ADD is being accommodating. Mm-hmm. If someone asks you to do something, just do it, right? I mean, we are in the service business, and when people ask you to do something, as long as it's not illegal, or something that's really outside your core strength, just do it. Yeah. So I think sometimes part of the problems that we have is most people you can reason with. And like in your situation, I know the individual is like, you weren't just going to, he was unreasonable. Mm-hmm. So those kind of clients, it's best to know when just to step out. So my general opinion, and I've had to do it a few times since we started ADV, is I usually take them to lunch, take the client to lunch, say, hey, let's talk about what's going on. You know, I've always found when you're eating with people, and I think it's why Jesus had a lot of meals, the defensiveness goes down and you have a good conversation. And we've recently had something like that. It wasn't a bad situation. It's just we wanted this relationship to be really good and we had a series of lunch meetings. Now we're doing a lot of work with them and it's a really good relationship. So I don't know, it's the delusional optimist I think that we all have to have as business leaders and salespeople is that, you know what, this can be a better situation. So I think part of it is going to the negotiation, assuming it's going to be a good outcome. And that way, you kind of can influence what that's going to look like.
That's exactly right.
Yes. I think the biggest compliment that we get from our clients is how responsive we are. And that's part of that accommodating. Yeah. We do things for clients that you would not consider marketing, like what a marketing company does. But if it's in our wheelhouse, we're going to do it. And most of the time, even if it's not in our wheelhouse, we'll say, this isn't normally something we do, but we'll try and see if it works.
Right.
And it usually works. And,
sometimes it can turn into a new business area. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like we talked about for you all, it's like you're doing marketing, but like event management and those kind of things, I know you ladies could really be good at that. And so if someone asks you to do it, like you're going to be doing our open house, is that may be an area that just really takes off for you all. So sometimes if clients ask you to do something, they're trusting you, mm-hmm. but also it's an opportunity for you to grow business.
We've also found that when we do something for one client, we can usually improve all of our other clients' services by working that in also, like the reporting that we give to y'all. Like one client specifically asked for that and pushed us to do it, and then we rolled it out to all of our clients.
Right.
So it was really nice.
So sometimes those difficult clients help you get better with everybody else, right?
Yes. Yes. We're really good because you're our number one client. So we're good at dealing with difficult ones.
We're your best and your worst.
I'm just kidding. You're not difficult at all. Okay. So let's talk about one practical step listeners can implement when they're having a difficult client. Mine would be, I think that sometimes we try and answer and solve things right away. Just listen to them. Don't butt in, don't say anything, just listen. And if you don't have an answer, tell them that you're gonna look into it and get back to them, and then get back to them. Don't blow them off.
Yep.
But instead of just trying to come up with something or being like, no, that's not what happened, or, well, it actually went like this, just shh, listen.
Yeah, for sure,
yeah.
Shh.
You do that with your kids?
Yeah. Shh. No, I don't normally have to tell them to shh. Normally, if I'm having to shush them, I'm screaming at them because they're screaming and I'm screaming over them.
It's a really loud shush.
Yeah. All right, buddy, what's one practical thing?
Well, I think, the big high level is communication is key, but I think setting up timelines and reasonable timelines that both sides have, you know, what they expect. In my world, it may be sales or it may be a deliverable. You know, what are some of the strategies and you know, benchmarks that we want to obtain, and really have those lined out, mm-hmm. clearly written down. That way we have expectations. If we're not meeting those deadlines, then you can communicate, hey, we're falling behind a little bit here.
Yeah. That's
yes. Really good. Expectations are huge.
Yep. It's a common thread, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to take two, but I think we talked about communication. So I have a situation recently where we're behind on a project, actually two projects, and it bothers me. I'm so anal. Mm-hmm. It just really bothers me. So anyway, I'm probably over communicating, but I sent an email to a group of clients yesterday, and one of them's a VP, and I said, hey, we're behind, but this is where we are. And his response to me almost immediately is, I really appreciate your frequent communication.
Yeah.
Because what you realize most of the time, your client reports to somebody else. And so if somebody else is asking our client and they don't have an answer, it doesn't make them look good, yep. right? So the other thing is have fun. And I'm talking to two really fun people. But when you build a relationship with a client from the very beginning, set it up to be a great client. And I think sometimes we don't do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if from the very beginning it's like, you know, this could be a really good relationship, and that's how you treat them, is how you act from the very beginning. And maybe you even use those words. It's like, you know what, I really have been looking forward to working with you, and I want this to be a great relationship. You know, like you said, what are some things that you want out of this? I think if we just do that, it's quite possible that we won't have bad clients.
Right.
So I think sometimes it's our fault that we have bad clients, that we haven't done that at the beginning. So
yes, that's what I've learned so far, is when something goes wrong, it's because expectations weren't clear or you didn't get their buy-in on those expectations.
Right.
So you can't just set expectations and then go, that's what it is. Like, you have to discuss it with them and get them to buy in on it too.
Yep.
So
that's good.
Anything else, buddy, on this topic?
Yeah, I think there's two things I'll mention. Customer appreciation goes to what you're saying. Really show appreciation for their business, you know, whether it's a gift or, you know, something small, nothing that would get anybody into trouble. And then also just, you know, making the communication.
I just got that. Sorry.
Don't get them in trouble or you in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it's limited too. I mean, you can't even take some clients out to lunch anymore.
Yeah.
So. And we get that, but you know, if they make the efforts to come out to, say, our facility, we should have something for them.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, the other thing I think about clients is Harvard Business Review calls it self-barking, but what it is where a client hires you to do something, but then they try to take it over. It's kind of like, why would you hire a dog and start barking? That's the analogy. So I'm sure that Chris has done that, where he's hired a client, but then, you know, this guy wants to step in and become a PhD in mechanical engineering, which he's not, you know, or for me, I was hired by a founder, and he thought he was the best sales guy in the world, you know. So those are the kind of things where you hire someone to do a job, and how you handle that is you put your head down, you exceed expectations, and they eventually get that they're not qualified for that type of work.
That's good. I like that a lot.
Oh, we see that all the time because everyone's done marketing. Everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone.
That's the hard part for you, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody's a marketing expert.
Yes. And everyone has
I know what I want. Yep. Not really. Yeah. It's forward facing.
Yep. That's, we just wrote it into our processes. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So our next episode, we are going to be talking about the difference between working with and calling on a startup and an established business and kind of the pros and cons of that.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for y'all's input on this. I think we could probably do about 7 episodes on handling difficult clients. So,
exactly.
Thanks for watching today. Follow us anywhere that you get your podcast, and we'll see you next episode.
Bye.
Bye.